Welcome to Lost Levels Club.
Welcome to Lost Levels Club.
Today, I have with me Sir Michael.
Hello.
And myself.
Timothy.
Hello. We're Book Club for Games.
And today we are.
Today we're going to talk about...
Cookie Clicker.
The original idle game, but I know it's not.
It is one of the foundational idle games. It is one of the games that made it into a genre rather than social commentary. And in reference to something I said in the pre-chat, I think idle games just seemed insane / stupid until Cookie Clicker. And now it's an accepted genre of gaming. And of course there are idle games. Why would there not be idle games? But for a while it was like biting satire and like the game that plays itself.
First released in 2013 in browser form.
That is over 10 years ago.
What is surprising is how it's only recently come to Android and Steam. So 2020 for Android and 2021 for Steam.
Yes, and the Steam version costs money. The browser and Android versions are free and ad-supported. But the Steam version has music by C418, who also did the music for Minecraft.
I bought the Steam version for the music, and it's worth it.
Yeah, I also bought the Steam version, and the music really is very good. I actually didn't realize the music was by C418, but yeah, I looked it up afterwards because I was like, wow, this music is incredibly fitting. It's just like the sense of anticipation before you make that first click. And then, I mean, you're hearing that music for hours, but it's just kind of this strange trance-like flow state while having, I don't know, this... It just conveys the emotion of like optimism and growth and like striving for infinity.
Perfectly said.
I might be reading too much into it. So is it technically a solo dev game? I mean, there's two people who make up Dashnet who published the game. Is that maybe it's not published on Steam by them, but who made the game originally? So Ortil and Opti. Ortil. I might be saying it wrong. Anyway. Ortil is Julian Theonaut. I'm sorry, I'm probably saying this totally wrong. In any case, the business side is handled by Opti. The coding is done by Ortil.
That's an indie dev.
It's definitely indie.
Solo, did you say solo dev?
I said solo, yeah. So it's arguably solo because Ortil does the coding. It's definitely indie. Ortil wrote it in one night, the original version, posted it on 4chan, and I think it had something like 50,000 players within like 24 hours, and then like a quarter of a million within a week. Or at least that's the kind of scale of it. And it's been going ever since. And I believe it sustains them full time, just Cookie Clicker. I don't actually know this for a fact either. I'd like to dream that it does.
Yeah,
they have
too.
A Patreon. I don't think the Patreon's making a disgusting amount of money, though.
But this game is still being updated.
It's still being updated, yeah. Because I think when I bought it on Steam a few months back, it was just after they'd done yet another update that added yet more stuff. So.
So the other big game at the time, around then?
Well, okay, so you mentioned, like, is this the first idle game? And yes, it's certainly foundational and probably, you know, in the same way that the game that invents the genre isn't necessarily the game that makes the genre. So I would say that this is the game that made the genre of idle games, but it's not literally the first idle game or first clicker. Because, I mean, they're not exactly the same thing, but they're kind of related at least. So, yes, what would you say came first?
As far as I'm aware, I thought Cow Clicker came first.
Yeah, this is interesting. Because I had actually not really connected the two, to be honest. But, I mean, the hint is in the name. And I remember Cow Clicker. I remember reading about Cow Clicker on Slashdot and thinking it was incredibly stupid. Like, who would play this game? This game is for morons. And yet here I am with over 100 hours in Cookie Clicker now. So, yes, Cow Clicker is the original clicker, certainly. And although I think Cow Clicker is stupider, though I would say that. Because in Cow Clicker, you could click on a cow every 6 hours and you could pay money to be allowed to click on it more frequently. And you could pay real money to, like, buy skins for your cow to click on it. Like, Cow Clicker was actually like a satire on gaming, right? It was a Facebook game like Farmville. And it was like a distillation of all the worst elements of Farmville. It was basically just like the timer from Farmville, but boiled down into just one timer on one cow.
And you couldn't automate clicks?
Well, you only had to click once every 6 hours.
Okay.
So it's related, but I don't think it's really the same. Like, there's definitely much less game to Cow Clicker than there is to Cookie Clicker. Like, Cookie Clicker is a game. Cow Clicker is a satire.
Definitely.
Although it's a game too. It's just... And I remember Cow Clicker famously raptured all the cows. So at one point, the guy just got fed up and it was just like, I can't believe I'm making money from this stupid, stupid game. And so he raptured the cows and all the cows disappeared from the fields. And someone then posted a comment saying, the game isn't very fun now that the cows have been raptured. And he replied, the game wasn't very fun to begin with. Which is true, but
that is genius.
That is evil genius.
That is truly evil genius.
That is an example of someone trying to make the stupidest thing imaginable and then discovering everyone loves it.
Yeah. That's like a Jonathan Blow kind of move as well. He would do the same thing.
It's like a Jonathan Blow kind of move to try and insult someone and then discovering that they all love you for it. It was basically like Jonathan Blow's going to spend like 20 years writing his programming language, right, to make his magnum opus game that's going to take him another 10 years. No one's going to buy it. Then in a fit of pique, he's going to make a game about farts and it's going to become like $100 million making, you know, cultural icon. And then he's just going to off himself because he can't stand to be on this planet anymore, you know, like... It's like that kind of situation, although on a much smaller scale.
No, but Jonathan Blow will be like, send me to Mars now, Elon. Get me to Mars now.
You're right. It's fine because he'll be able to afford the rocket with the proceeds from his fart game.
Yes.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Don't worry, that can be arranged. None of us played Cow Clicker, right?
No.
Okay, good. Just checking. But it's funny, because at the time it seemed stupid and now it seems visionary. I don't think Cookie Clicker is the same, though. I mean, it's a clicker, but it's also an idle game. And, like, what makes an idle game? Idle games are all about number get bigger, right? Cow Clicker, you can click on the cow every 6 hours. It's like a linear increase. Cookie Clicker and, like, idle games, it's about the exponential, right?
Yes, it is.
And what other idle games have you played?
The two I remember the most are Adventure Capitalist and Universal Paperclips.
So you've actually played Adventure Capitalist?
Yeah, I have.
And is it any good? Because I haven't.
I don't know. It's not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I think I want an RPG idle game now. Now, the more I've played Idle Clicker, what I want is an RPG idle game.
I mean, that can be arranged.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I mean, we've both played Universal Paperclips.
Yeah, we have.
But you haven't finished it.
I have
which
not.
Which is to say, like, you haven't ascended, kind of, in Universal Paperclips.
Nope.
Okay. And I have.
But once you've ascended, you go again with a, wasn't it, like a prestige bonus or ascension bonus?
Yes. Yes, okay. You can do that in Universal Paperclips. Because Universal Paperclips does have a story. There's like three distinct phases to the game. And from our conversations, I think you haven't finished even the first phase.
Possibly.
But this isn't about Universal Paperclips.
What other idle games have you played?
Okay. The other one I have played is The Perfect Tower 2. And hey, I've talked about it before. And The Perfect Tower 2 has many, 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 many more mechanics than Cookie Clicker. But The Perfect Tower 2 is what made me realize I had this undiagnosed weakness for idle games. Because, like, I played Universal Paperclips and I enjoyed it. But it is relatively short. Whereas The Perfect Tower 2 just was like all-consuming for a few weeks/months. Like I played some like 100 hours of The Perfect Tower 2 within like 2 weeks or something. It was actually some insane number like that. But luckily I wasn't working at the time.
It's interesting because you play idle games actively, whilst I'll play them passively, I think.
I think this is true. I think this is going to be an interesting discussion.
Maybe there's more to play with The Perfect Tower 2.
Yeah, The Perfect Tower 2, I cannot believe is free. I think it is a work of genius. And there's, you know, there's the central mechanic of the perfect tower that you're building and like a tower defense game, although it's a tower defense game with only one tower. But instead of being a clicker, it's all about, well, you know, the exponential growth and the scaling and your, you know, economy to fund upgrades for this tower. And the mini games that form that economy are very varied. So there are ones that are kind of like Minecraft. There are ones that are kind of like, well, like an adventure game, like a dungeon crawler. You know, there's a whole bunch of these different games that earn you different kinds of cubes that you can exchange on like a stock market and stuff. Like, there's a lot to it. And The Perfect Tower 2 is free as well.
Have you gone back to it at all?
No, I every now and then will open it up, but the point I'm at in The Perfect Tower 2 is the same point that I'm at in Cookie Clicker, where all of the easy stuff is done. And like there's a, you know, like every now and then there's a wall, right? And like to climb that next wall, well, it will either take an enormous amount of time passively or some very, very focused time actively. And I'm just unwilling to do either of those things. Right? Like the dopamine hit from ascending the next step isn't enough to justify the cost to me now. If I had to actually articulate why I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Whereas like the fun of idle games as someone with an engineering background, it's this feeling of, yeah, number get bigger and I'm optimizing and I'm building this system and I'm making number get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, the dopamine hits keep on coming.
Okay.
But particularly when you don't know what's around the corner. Like, you can see there's a new building or a new mechanic or a new system and you don't know what it is. And you're just like, oh, if I can just climb a little bit further, I can reach that next rung on the ladder and then see what happens.
Okay, let's pull this back into Cookie Clicker. Let's go back to Cookie Clicker. So how much have you played?
138 hours. So I reached 138 hours, I think, quite quickly, embarrassingly. And then in the past, like, 3 or 4 months, I've actually hardly moved that number because I just open it, collect my cookies, do a little bit of admin and close it again. I haven't actually sat down and played it actively in order to, you know, get over that next hump for a long time.
Okay.
And how about you?
I don't know how much I've played. It's over 110 hours. I think I've played some more. I've definitely played some more. What am I talking about? But I play it quite passively, I feel.
Yeah, I think that, you see, that's the thing. We have played ballpark the same kind of amount of time, right?
Yes. Like,
I mean, there is obviously a difference between 138 and 110, but it's like not that much percentage-wise, or at least, you know, that's a what, like 20 to 30% difference in time. But our difference in number of cookies is much more significant than
it's,
that.
Yeah, substantial.
So read off some of your stats.
I don't have, wait, do you have them? I don't have them.
You've got them on WhatsApp.
All I can see is that your number's an order of magnitude or multiple orders of magnitude.
It's more than one order of magnitude. Like 10 orders of magnitude or something ridiculous. I've got your stats. Do you want to know what your stats
are? Yeah, please.
Okay. You have clicked 7 golden cookies. You have made all time 15.082 trillion cookies, of which you have made 45.312 billion by clicking on the cookie. And your current cookies per second are 107.717 million. You have 77 upgrades and 59 achievements. At least in this snapshot of your stats that you sent me. You may have got slightly more than this now, but
it's going to be slightly more.
Okay, and then my stats?
Let's just go with this headline one. You said 50-something achievements. You've got 500-something achievements.
554 achievements, I mean, yeah.
That's, even on the achievements front, it's a ridiculous difference. I think I'm playing this game incorrectly.
Well, you're playing it passively, and I now admit that I mostly played it actively, which is kind of horrifying. But that's the difference active participation can make over 100 hours. Yeah. So, and also, yeah, your prestige level is 0. You haven't ascended even once.
No.
Whereas I've ascended 11 times. And yeah, my prestige level is 5.282 quadrillion. And then I actually have another 4.222 quadrillion ascension levels, like, in the bank. So, like, the next time I ascend, it's going to go up by, like, 4.222 quadrillion.
I want to know, what is your cookies per second?
Yeah, so my cookies per second is 104.297 sextillion. so it goes, what, like, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion.
Wow.
Oh, no, wait. No, it's not that, actually. Sorry. Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sexillion, septillion, octillion, nonillion, decillion, undecillion, duodecillion, tradecillion, quadrodecillion, quintodecillion, sextillion. So it's like 16. You know, if trillion is 3, sextillion is 16.
Yep.
So it's a lot more. Sorry, I was selling myself quite a lot short there. And
because the number of you baked in total, oh my, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and so my total baked cookies is 861.853 octodecillion.
Yeah.
And the number of cookies I have baked by clicking on the cookie is 422.587 octodecillion. About half of my cookies come from clicking on the cookie.
So you are literally cookie clicking.
But this is an important... Well, we can talk about how I made these cookies later, but it's not like I'm sitting there clicking on the cookie constantly, right? That's a mugs game. That's how a stupid person would play this game.
Good.
Sorry, anyone who plays it like that. I made a lot of cookies by clicking on the cookie, but I didn't make it by literally clicking on the cookie.
I think that's what I want to talk about next, is playing Cookie Clicker and how to play Cookie Clicker, because I'm not sure I'm playing Cookie Clicker correctly.
I don't think there is a correct way to play it, but...
Well, it's a numbers game, isn't it, surely?
let's talk about then how I played. So how are you playing Cookie Clicker?
I'm just buying the upgrades. Originally, I just had a spreadsheet to see, which building gave me the highest return on investment. And then after a while, that gets boring because it's marginal. It's always changing depending on what you bought last. Like, whatever you upgraded last becomes the most, has the highest return, basically, right? Because everything's diminishing returns.
Yeah, I mean, every time you buy a building, the cost of buying that building goes up by some factor. I don't know the exact factors, but obviously it goes up, whereas the amount that the building makes is going up linearly. So at some point it becomes not worth buying more of that building. Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's like exponential versus linear. The whole game is basically the trade-off between exponential versus linear growth. And I don't think I went as far as maintaining a spreadsheet, but I was certainly looking at the numbers and doing the calculation, yes, of what is the additional cost of the cookies per second this buying this building is going to give me.
But at some point, the game goes beyond that. Because the numbers are so large, it doesn't really matter, almost.
I mean, I started buying buildings in chunks of 10 or 100.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not efficient, because actually every building you buy is going to like compound. So maybe you should always be buying them individually. But yeah, I just set it to like 10 or 100, the multiplier, and then just click on it then.
I never got to buying things in the hundreds.
I think the hundreds thing is more after you've done a few ascensions, because every ascension level increases your production by that many percent. So on my latest ascension, everything is increased by 4 quadrillion percent, my cookie income. So even if I had like a thing that, usually you've got something that gives you like 1 cookie per second, but once I've unlocked the heavenly upgrades and I'm getting my ascension benefit, then that thing will produce, instead of 1 cookie per second, it'll produce 4 quadrillion cookies per second.
So I should have ascended.
Well, no, because what is your ascension level? It's 1, right? And to get 2, you need to make 15 trillion cookies.
Okay.
So I actually did make this mistake. I hit 1 trillion cookies, got 1 ascension level, and immediately ascended. And then essentially had to play the entire game again.
It sounds like that's the intention, though. That's how
I think designed. That's the intention if you don't know what you're doing. Like, fine. The thing you should do, if you're sensible, is actually get to, a few hundred ascension levels before you ascend the first time. Because then you can buy some meaningful bonuses in like the afterlife, the cookie afterlife, and then And then when you come back in, obviously you've got a significant multiplier to your cookies produced. But yeah, it is not feasible to get a lot of the upgrades or the later buildings without having a few ascensions under your belt.
Okay. Okay, we've talked about the buildings, the upgrades, ascension. We haven't talked about the mini games.
Well, this is interesting. So it's not just clicking on the cookie. Yes, you can upgrade buildings by growing sugar lumps. I mean, this is all the mechanics in the game. There are sugar lumps that kind of accrete, and you can spend sugar lumps to upgrade the buildings. And there are different kinds of buildings. And some of the buildings, when you upgrade them, there's a mini game associated. I think there's only four. There's the garden, which is from upgrading the farm. There's the stock market from upgrading the bank. There's the Pantheon from upgrading the temple, and the Grimoire from upgrading the Wizard's Tower. Do you play these minigames at all?
The garden. I'm a gardener.
I've done a little bit of the garden, but I spent way too much time on the stock market, which I think is actually a mug's game now in hindsight. Like, I don't think the stock market is actually a very good return on investment, because you can buy low and you can sell high, but interestingly enough, the cookies that you get from the stock market don't seem to count towards your ascension level.
They think it can
and
be gained.
It's just random walk. Like, I think the stocks just like random walk around their like default level. And yeah, each of the stocks you unlock by unlocking one of the buildings. And they each have like a default price that's like $10 higher than the previous, where $1 is equal to, I think, something like 1 second of your cookies per second or something. I don't know. Because the actual cookie cost of buying a stock goes up as your cookie production goes up. And also the payout too. I mean, and then the garden is like you plant plants in squares and they can mutate when you plant crops next to each other that can potentially crossbreed. The Pantheon, you choose to worship certain gods and they give you bonuses and penalties depending on what you pick. And then the Grimoire has spells. You kind of passively gain mana over time and then you can use that mana to cast spells.
Yep.
So for me, actually, most of my cookies came from the Grimoire, effectively.
Ooh. I should engage with that then. Because there's no penalties, is that right?
No, there are penalties. I mean, I can tell you how I played. It is very different to you, I think.
Are you ready for that?
No, I don't know, yeah. It depends what you want to talk about.
Let's talk about how we played. What's the loop? What is, you know...
How did I actively play Cookie Clicker for 100 hours like a moron?
This is no longer an idle game.
I mean, this game is nerd sniping dopamine addiction for me. And then I've, you know, as I said, at some point the next step becomes more than the payoff and then I stop. But it's still, well, I think it's no longer an undiagnosed weakness for idle games. It's now just a weakness for idle games, but now I know it. So you literally just leave the game running and logged in and walk away.
Yeah, and I check in on it every hour.
Yeah, I just couldn't bear to do that. It just felt wrong leaving it running. I think I did do that like a little bit, but I don't do it now. And I didn't do it very much either. Like it would be only running for like an hour or two at most when I was away. Like I would leave it running, I'd go to the gym and come back. But I don't think I did that much. And most of my cookies, came from stacking buffs. So there are some very significant buffs that you can get from clicking on golden cookies. So the most obvious one I think is called like golden cookie or something, like golden aura. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the icon is like a golden cookie and it increases your cookie production 700%. There's also one called Click Frenzy, which increases the return on clicking on the cookie by 777 times. And so if you get a Click Frenzy and the golden cookie buff, that's 700% on 777 times gain every time you click on the cookie. And that's when you absolutely spam clicking on the cookie.
Okay.
And you can make days of idle cookie production in seconds.
Okay, okay.
So there is a grimoire spell called Force the Hand of Fate, which just spawns a golden cookie. So what I would do is wait for a golden cookie to spawn, click on it, and then if it was a production buff, like the golden cookie, or later on you also get ones from like specific buildings. So like if you've got like 800 farms, you will get like an 800% bonus or 8,000% bonus, you know, to your cookie production, because it's like 10% per farm you have. And then I would force a golden cookie to spawn and hope that it was Click Frenzy. And so basically, if you get Click Frenzy with one of these, you can make just insane amounts of cookies in a very short amount of time. And that's why most of my cookies actually come from clicking on the cookie.
Thank you.
But you see, it's actually, that's why it's like gambling. It's like a dopamine hit, because you click on it and you see like, oh, it's a good bonus. And you click on it and you hope it's Click Frenzy. And if it's not Click Frenzy, you're like, oh, never mind. But when it's Click Frenzy, you're like, yes, jackpot, you know, and you like absolutely go mental on the mouse. And then you see the numbers go up and you see the numbers like break new bounds.
So after speaking to you, was it 2 days ago? 2 days ago, as we went over the stats, I realized I need to go again and have a second wind. So I sort of evolved my playstyle, and I found that if I garden correctly, I can improve the chances of a golden cookie hitting. So I can get the, is it Click Frenzy?
Have you unlocked a lot of stuff in the garden then? Because I've actually really not unlocked very much in the garden at all.
No, I've not really. I've only just got the Lucky Clover, and that's all I need.
Okay, yeah, because I think you're right. I think the garden is a very significant cookie generator if you use it right.
And I turned on mouse keys to improve my clicking as well after discovering that I couldn't get
15 clicks per second?
Yeah. So I can now drum between, I think it's plus and five are the left clicks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, achievements got me back in.
Of course it would be achievements for you. I mean, it was achievements for me too. That's the thing. It's every time you unlock a new achievement, you know, and every achievement gives you a 1% increase in your cookie production too. And then every how many achievements, but your milk changes color. So you go from like regular milk to chocolate milk to strawberry milk to, you know, I think I'm on like, what am I even on? Blueberry milk now? I don't know. I've got like some crazy kinds of milk. And then there's also kittens, and like the kittens also give you a buff based on the level of milk you've got. Like there's all these things that contribute, like stacking multiplicative buffs.
Yes, I've been playing this incorrectly then.
I don't think it's incorrectly, but it's interesting how they make all these numbers and multipliers interact with each other, right? Because I also realized that, you know, for a while, you're always better off buying the new building, right? Like the actual return on investment from like the new building you unlock is always better. But then once you've unlocked the last building, then it's like, what do I do? Do I just keep buying the last building? But then I realized that actually the lowest level thing you can get, like, you know, the pointer, like the finger that just clicks on the cookie for you, the amount of cookies that gives you scales to the number of buildings you have. And then it was like, oh, I should just buy whatever the cheapest building is to have more buildings, because that was actually, you know, it got to the point where 90% of my passive cookie generation was actually coming from the pointers rather than the high tier buildings, you know, just because I had so many buildings and it's the building number that was giving me the bonus. So like the thing that gives you the best return changes over the course of the game. And it's just like recognizing that and deciding what to focus your attention on. But actually, yes, I think actively playing it and stacking buffs is the way to go. And that also includes things like the garden, where there are certain plants in the garden that give you a buff when you harvest them. And so I think if you manage to get like a massive multiplier and then harvest those plants, again, you can make like years worth of like passive income in seconds. But I haven't invested the time in the garden. And I think, yeah, the garden needs like the game to be actively running all the time, because it doesn't grow when you're away.
No, but, it doesn't.
You know, although I didn't leave the game running, I did spend my, you know, heavenly chip ascension bonuses on the things that give you cookie income, even if the game is shut. So even when the game is not running, I still receive 90% of the passive cookie income I would have got if the game was running. So that's the only reason I just don't leave the game running, because I get the cookies basically anyway.
I have to admit, I didn't understand Cookie Clicker until only 2 days ago. I played so much of this game, I didn't understand it.
I think some of this is just like the tropes of idle games and just...
Like, I should have, like, looking back, I should have ascended. Even though you say, oh, I did it incorrectly, you need to, like, just to...
But I don't think you were wrong to have not ascended, because if you ascend with only one ascension level, what can you buy with one heavenly chip? Basically nothing.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to climb all your way back up to generating 100 million cookies again from nothing with a 1% bonus.
But you need to suffer that pain to appreciate you can't play this game passively.
I mean, you can play it passively. You have done.
Yeah, but my numbers aren't big enough.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, what are the numbers, right? Like, how much of your life did you waste on this game? Like, my time is 138 hours, but I probably wasted literally 100 real hours of my life on it. Your number's 110, but you probably wasted like 5 hours on it, right?
Probably not so low.
Still.
Things like, I still have things to do now. Like, I haven't bought a portal yet. And for a long time, I thought golden cookies were by chance. But actually, I can easily increase the chance of a golden cookie significantly.
Well, also... the heavenly chip upgrades massively increase the chances of golden cookies. There are some you can buy. So for me, golden cookies come quite often.
So it's one of those things when someone reveals how easy it is to do something, you automatically, you believe it yourself that it's kept possible. So I managed to get 7 golden cookies really easily once I realized, oh, actually, it's something that needs to be done.
Yeah, it's like self-limiting beliefs, isn't it? It's funny. 100%. It's like once you know something is possible, then you can do it. But until you know, if someone told you a thing was possible, then you could do it. But if you were told it couldn't be done, or no one had done it for like, you know, 100 years, then you'd just naturally not try. I don't know, or think that you couldn't, and you'd limit yourself. It's an interesting psychological thing about the human mind, I guess.
Yeah, so I thought golden cookies were purely by chance, and purely by, if you sat in front of your computer long enough, they'll happen. But actually, you can really force it.
Well, I mean, I think you're correct. They are random and they just happen by chance. It's just that you can increase the chance of it happening by buying a lot of upgrades or doing things in the garden. Yes. Or literally casting the spell once you have the Wizard's Tower. Though, do you have the Wizard's Tower? I can't remember if that's before or after the portal.
I do have the Wizard's Tower. I thought those cookies don't count for some reason. The ones you force.
I mean, actually, I don't think they count from the stock market, but they do count from the ones that you... I see what you mean. Sorry. The golden cookies that you force. No, they count.
So they count towards the 77... Well, I don't know how many it is. 27 that you need to get?
Oh, for that achievement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll just do that then.
Just do that then. Are you really going to keep playing this game?
I should have just done that then.
You were very... Because you were quite against this. I mean, it's actually, we never even said whose pick this is, but like, this is notionally your pick, but really it's mine.
One more thing. Did you use any guides or walkthroughs for this?
I looked on the wiki.
Okay.
I didn't do it at first, but I did do it eventually. I mean, you can tell I didn't do it at first because I ascended as soon as I hit 1 trillion cookies. But I did later start looking stuff up. Yes.
It's a requirement.
I'm not sure I went as far as looking up a guide and following a guide, but I did look up how certain mechanics work.
Okay.
Like I looked up the plants that can be in the garden, you know, or I looked up the stock market and like the expected values or things like, you know, I looked up how the stock market works under the hood, for example.
Yeah, I had to look up like how mutations worked in the garden.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And then you haven't... Oh, okay, yeah. I don't even know if I want to talk about this. If we should talk about it now or in the summary. Because I deliberately... Before I sent you the screenshots of my stats, I actually deliberately cleaned up the screen a bit.
Did you?
Because... Spoilers for Cookie Clicker. There is a like an eldritch horror nightmare underneath the game.
What?
So you can trigger something called the Grandma Apocalypse.
That I've heard about, yes.
Oh, okay. You know about it already.
Wait, but I don't know the consequence of it.
You can just trigger like strange, horrible monsters that are start eating the cookie.
I didn't know that, no. I just know the term Grandma Apocalypse.
And then there's like...
And it happens.
The golden cookies become like cursed cookies instead. And then you get different... Well, and then it becomes more of a trade-off because the cursed cookies can give you a bonus or they can give you a big negative as well. And then that also makes it a bit annoying, like whether you click the cookie... Yeah, whether you click the golden cookie or not. Because you might just halve your production, you know, instead of doubling it, kind of thing.
And once you've hit that state, you can't go back. You can't undo.
You can undo it, but it costs you cookies. Like it's a permanent 5%
penalty
drag on your cookies to undo the Grandma Apocalypse.
So is that something you've triggered? Do you trigger it? You know, is it once you've hit this level of production, you'll always trigger it? Or is it?
No, you can choose whether to do it or not. But I think if you're playing passively, it's actually better to trigger it. But if you're playing it actively, maybe it's better not to.
And what did you do?
Well, I mean, I've just got it triggered now because I'm not actively sitting there waiting for golden cookies anymore.
Okay.
Also because, you know, for me, there's no more buildings to unlock. So there's no more, like, you know, there's still achievements I haven't got. There's still heights I haven't climbed to, but... I feel like the payoff to achieve them is not going to be worth it. You know, I've now seen basically everything I care about in the game.
My first comment in the summary section was, is this a highly addictive game? My follow-up to that was, progression seems too slow to me. Perhaps it's quick, it's just I'm used to this gameplay loop that I've sort of adopted.
Well, I think it turns out you just didn't hit the actual loop for Cookie Clicker.
Yeah.
Because in the same amount of time that you've played, I had unlocked most of it. I'd imagine it's end 11 times. But you weren't physically there for most of the time you were playing. You were just...
I really feel like I've missed the point of Cookie Click. Well, I've discovered it too late.
I think there's an interesting question as to like, what is an idle game and how should you play an idle game? I mean, I think it's good that you did this because you played it genuinely passively and I played it actively. And what did we get out of it?
More achievements. I wished I had more achievements.
Yeah, I got a lot of achievements out of it. I mean, for me, it was this constant like escalator of dopamine until, you know, I hit the wall. And I could climb that last wall, but yeah, now it doesn't seem worth it. Whereas for you, I mean, okay, so this is exponential versus linear. For me, it was exponential, like number get bigger. And for you, you were just watching it linearly climb and it wasn't fun.
Nope, it was not fun.
So that's the secret. Everyone loves exponentials.
True.
Yeah, the human mind can't comprehend the glory of an exponential. Number get bigger faster than comprehend.
This is why we love crypto.
Stonks. And we haven't talked about the theming except in the vaguest terms, but I think it is important to mention that too, right? Because we talked about the music and we talked about you having a spreadsheet to calculate the returns. But if you think about it, the entire game could literally be a spreadsheet. You could have an Excel macro called like cookie that you click on, and you could just have literally a bunch of formulas that calculate the cookie. But that wouldn't be fun. That would not be fun in the same way that this is fun. Right? The theming is cohesive in this unhinged way. And like, there is a story. Like there's the news ticker at the top, right? There's lots of things that are supposed to kind of, I mean, it's terrible in a way, right? It's like a terrible hacking of the brain. It's exploiting the brain's weakness for timers and inconsistent returns. Because, you know, later on, there's, you know, things appear in the news ticker that for you to click, like you can get a fortune cookie by clicking on the news ticker. And that will unlock, a fortune, which gives you another buff, right? There's so much stuff that's just like, pops up for you to click on, and if you miss it, then you've missed it, right? And you never know what it would have given you. So I think it's very clever, right? There's the cookie that you click on, so there's, you've got the pointer, and then there's grandmas who bake cookies, you've got the farm that grows cookies. I guess that is like, you know, commentary on Farmville. Then you've got the cookie mines, maybe Minecraft. And then, yeah, increasingly unhinged and meta things. So obviously the portal, the Wizard's Tower, Chance Makers, Cortex Bakers, JavaScript consoles later on. And then eventually, you know, the last thing is clones of you. So, you know, the last building is literally you.
Okay.
And if you read the news ticker, you can see, like, as you get more and more cookies and as you build more of these buildings, like, slowly you are taking over the world and the entire universe is just being converted into cookies. I mean, it's kind of like Universal Paperclips in that sense.
Yeah.
And then the grandma apocalypse where, yes, all the grandmas you've exploited like fuse into one eldritch horror and just consume reality. So there's a story if you're looking for it. But I admit it's secondary to exponential growth.
Let's talk more about idle games. So has this increased your appetite for idle games, or this is it? I mean, you understand the genre well enough that, oh, I don't want to play any more or talk about these anymore, and I'm going to move on.
I mean, I know that they are dangerous now, right? Like, idle games are now in the same category as Stellaris. If I cross the threshold and start getting the dopamine payoff from an idle game, I will just keep going and it will become all consuming. Like, I know that they're dangerous now. So I'm not saying I'll never play one again, but I think I have to be careful about starting them. It's like the purest distillation of number get bigger brain hacking.
Yeah, it is. Have you come across things like Idle Champions?
I've heard of it. I haven't played it. I think I own it.
We must
actually
own
it. Is it free?
It's free on Epic.
Yeah, that's why I've got it from that.
Now I know Cookie Click. I don't really understand how Idle Champions would work, but I may need to investigate.
I think your comment about wanting to play an idle RPG is quite interesting.
Because in my mind, an idle RPG means loot gets better, loot gets bigger.
Well, because is Diablo just cookie clicker, but instead of clicking on the cookie, you click on the baddie?
I think so.
But that's fundamentally what it is.
That's why it works.
Yeah, I mean, they're the same game. They're the same game, really. Number get bigger. In Diablo, it's your damage. And instead of clicking on the cookie, you're clicking on your skills and you're occasionally dodging. But it's basically the same thing. They're addictive for the same reason. In Diablo, you're waiting for that loot drop. In Cookie Clicker, you're waiting for Click Frenzy with a big production buff.
And the theming matters, like
you said.
And
the theming matters, yeah, for sure.
No, we're done. We should close the podcast. We should end the podcast there.
Close the podcast and make what? Demon Clicker.
Demon Clicker. Evil Genius Clicker.
It probably would. This goes on the list of games it would be interesting to make. You're right. I've never actually thought about making an idle game, but I really should.
You should, because it's something that you can do in one evening, Mike.
It's something I can do in one evening. I think you overestimate my mental capacity anymore. I don't know what's happened to me. You know what, actually? Okay, this is going to be a bit sad, right? But what data type would you use for the number of cookies you've got?
You'd use a big decimal, because I'm sure you can scale it to...
Okay, that's a cop-out answer. Maybe it's the correct answer, but I think it's a cop-out answer. I was really kind of torn about this. Because what is the performance implication of you having... Maybe I guess it's just one big decimal. Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's fine, yeah.
Maybe there are performance implications.
You're probably right. I think I'm massively overthinking it.
Yeah, you've done physics in Unity and you didn't need to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Just big decimal and let someone else worry about it. Oh, that was a damp squib of a question.
You've got to understand your evenings run until 4 a.m., so you've got plenty of time.
The other sad thing I'm going to admit is that I spent the last few days grinding out the Fortnite Battle Pass to unlock the Bird is the Word emote before the season ended. But I did it.
When does the Battle Pass end?
Oh, it was yesterday. It's over.
Okay, you redid it last minute.
I really did it last minute. I got the Bird is the Word.
You don't have anyone to blame but yourself here.
I have no one to blame but myself. I complain about the job and it taking all this time and blah, blah, blah. But really, I stayed up till 3 a.m. unlocking the Bird is the Word. So what is wrong with my life? Somewhere along the line, my incentive structure went extremely off the rails.
From talking to you over the last 90 minutes, I feel you don't respect your time. You just have no respect for it.
I'm still living like my time is free.
Yes.
But I'm not an elf, unfortunately.
Your time is the only resource you don't have. It'll run out. I don't think you'll run out of the other one.
The other one being what? Diet Coke. No, I'm joking. Of course I know what the other one is.
But yeah, you're optimizing for the other one.
Yes. It is a problem. It is a significant problem. I think it's because, well, this is like therapy again. Yeah. You know, when you grow up without having a lot of money, I'm trying to scrimp and save on lots of things that don't make sense anymore. It's true.
And you just get the Apple Ultra. Apple Watch Ultra
and the Pro Max. You're right.
The Pro Max.
None of this makes sense. It's illogical. I need to go on like a retreat and like re-rationalize my my value system.
I think you just conflicted.
Yes. So that's what we learned from Cookie Clicker.
It's very meta.
I think that's actually quite a valuable insight to have gained.
We were Lost Levels Club.
We still are Lost Levels Club.
Please rate and subscribe to us on your podcasting platform.
Please, please, please.
You can find us on email.
mike.and.ting at lostlevels.club.
On Twitter?
At lostlevelsclub.
Anywhere else?
Reddit.com/lostlevelsclub.
So, Michael, what are you grateful for today?
I am grateful that I didn't miss my flight back to Singapore, because the plane from London took off an hour late, and it was a flight from London to Dubai and then Dubai to Singapore, and the connection time in Dubai was 1 hour. So by the time I landed and got off the plane, it was already the takeoff time for my flight to Singapore. And I got off the plane and I was expecting them to say, oh yeah, go to the transfer desk and we'll put you on a different flight. But they were like, go to gate 17 now. And I just like ran. And I got to the gate and I was like, is the plane still here? And they're like, it's still here. And I was like, can I get on? And they were like, you're the first person here. We're still discussing it. And then I had to stand there for like 10 minutes while they discussed whether they were going to actually just like send the plane off or whether they were going to wait for the people from the London flight. And in the end, they decided, yeah, it's okay. And then they let us on, which led to the plane to Singapore also being delayed by an hour. So I was like an hour late, but that was fine. At least I still made it. Because goodness knows what would have happened if I'd missed that plane. I think that it would have been like another day to get back.
But they would have put you up in a hotel, etc., right?
Or something in Dubai, I guess so. But it would have cost me another day of holiday.
Oh, yeah. Time.
Yeah, you're right. My time is precious. Fine. I can't deny it any longer. Thanks for awakening me to the horrible reality of reality, Ting. And my mortality. I hope you're happy for granting me this insight into my own death.
You'll forget tomorrow.
I'll forget tomorrow. I'll be like, ooh, the bird is the word.
So Michael says bye.
Bye-bye.